Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, and you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy or the girl who'll decide where to go. How many of you are familiar with those words? They mark the beginning of Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. And many of you have had it read to you as a child. Some of you have been given it as a graduation present. Perhaps a few of you have even memorized parts of this book. Did you know that over the course of the last 3 weeks, many of our families and students have been participating in BOLT, our virtual adventure Bible camp? And while we certainly miss the excitement and controlled chaos that an in-person camp week provides, the virtual ABC has been a great way to allow families to learn from God's Word together and to extend an invitation to some of their friends and neighbors to join in on some backyard fun and activity. Our prayer is that in this, like in everything we do, that people of all ages discover a relationship with Jesus and learn to deepen and develop that relationship. It's another way in which we can see that even though our building has been closed, our ministry has not been hindered. We just had to choose a direction and then start to move, even into some new spaces. Or as Dr. Seuss says, it's opener there in the wide open air. And we've certainly found that to be the case. But getting there wasn't very easy. In fact, it was somewhat of a challenge when we realized that we were going to be unable to run our camp or many other events in addition to our regular gathering times. It was like we were being told no, even though we had good intention, ample resources, and a strong commitment to serve. Now, how many of us can handle it when we're told no? And I'm not just talking about kids here. When you don't get your way, what do? How does that make you feel? Or how about when you don't get to do the activity or the event that you thought you were going to be doing? And if you haven't already done so, it may be good as adults to talk to your kids about some of the difficulties that you've experienced or are experiencing during these recent months when we're being told no to a lot of things. During this COVID-19 time, we have certainly been faced with postponements and alterations and even cancellations of many regular and special activities for which we have grown accustomed. It's not been easy. We went through long periods where we were unable to see even some of our family members. We've been out of school, we've been away from work, we've missed birthday parties, graduations, proms, and even some vacation plans. It's like someone just held up a giant no sign as for almost everything we had come to expect as normal, we couldn't do. It's required adjustments. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on, and you'll be left in a lurch. What? Even me? Yes, even me. You know, back at the end of April, I was supposed to be heading to El Salvador, and then I was supposed to be going to the Philippines to see the work of the International Justice Mission Office and that is supporting the efforts against child trafficking and abuses there. I couldn't go. In fact, I haven't gone anywhere since last December. That's almost 9 months ago. And I look back through my calendar, and I think this is the longest stretch of time that I have not flown on an airplane to another city or another country in 18 years. Talk about needing to make adjustments. My family's had to put up with me for all this time around the house. I think they still like me, but it hasn't always been easy. There have certainly been a few days when it feels like I'm stuck in a lurch. And I think that's what Paul and his friends, Silas and Timothy, might have been feeling like in Acts chapter 16 in verses 6 to 10. Paul and Barnabas had already been on one mission journey. They were talking to people about Jesus. They were helping to establish some home churches and some networks in those cities. But now Paul was heading off on a second journey, and with his feet in his shoes, he was ready to go in a direction that he had chosen until he couldn't. God said no. In fact, God didn't just say no once, he said no twice. So let's read about that together in our Bibles or on our Bible apps. Take a moment to get that ready. And if you need to, pause the video and then press resume when you're ready. I think it's really good to use a physical Bible personally because it helps you to see what is happening before and after, helps you to maybe take some notes around what you're reading or maybe circle or underline some words. So just pause the video and then resume when you're ready. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do that. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul and his friends thought they were going to go to one place and then another. Instead, they ended up in a waiting place. The waiting place. For people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow. Or waiting around for a yes or a no. Or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying. You'll find the bright places where the boom bands are playing. Now to move out of the waiting and into where the boom bands are playing doesn't just happen. What if we could figure out what Dr. Seuss meant by somehow? I think we can. Waiting isn't just doing nothing. It's not like waiting for the bus or for your parents to stop talking after being together as a church family. Sometimes that can take forever. Waiting is not passive. From a biblical perspective, waiting is an active preparation for the next thing that God has to show you. Did you know that? I think that's really cool. So what are some ways that we can prepare? You know, Paul and his friends, they would have had a knowledge or an understanding of the Old Testament writings. I think that when they recognized that God was saying no, either through something they read, because God's word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, or maybe it was something someone shared with them in the spirit of Jesus, that they likely looked to do one or more of these five active ways to wait. Here's the first one. Talk to God about how you're feeling. You know, Psalm 5 verse 3 says, "Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." Every day we get to talk to God every day, even many times throughout the day. And it's important that we do this, important that we talk to God about how we're feeling. It's okay to let Him know if we're sad or confused or angry or worried. It's also important to tell Him when we're thankful, we're happy, and we're encouraged. And as we do this, we remind ourselves that God is working out His purpose, even if we can't see it at the moment. The second thing is that God wants to care for me. To be reminded of that, God wants to care for me. Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake." Do you see that? The Lord is the one who causes us to pause in order for us to be refreshed for the journey ahead. He has some parts of our character that He wants to strengthen. And then there are others that need to be cleaned up or weaned away from our lives in order to prepare us for what comes next. Because God knows that sometimes the long shadows of the valley are ahead, and they can make us afraid if we're not prepared. Dr. Seuss says it this way, "Whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants." That's the reality. There are going to be some things that cause us to be afraid. The third piece is this. We need to keep a long-term perspective. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14 says this, "I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." In this passage, the writer admits the difficulties that he's facing. He admits the loneliness and the feelings of uncertainty, but he doesn't stop there. I think sometimes we stop and we may even commiserate there. But notice that the psalmist then reminds himself of God's greater plan. Sometimes we allow the immediate situations to distract us from recognizing God's greater work. Perseverance is a characteristic that God grows in us, and it gives us the capacity to move forward, knowing God is in control. The fourth thing we can do is we can find hope in what God is already doing. Psalm 33, verse 20 says this, "Wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." We wait in hope, says the psalmist. It's the reminder to consider with gratitude the evidence of God's power already being demonstrated around us. Maybe it's the way that He has previously answered prayer for you in your life or led you through some difficulty. It's good to reflect back on that. Or maybe it's being reminded through the promises of His word and maybe even the evidence of the created world around us. You can look earlier in that psalm for evidence of that. The fifth is, do not worry. Look at Psalm 37. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." You know, three different times in the first nine verses of this psalm, we read from Psalm verse 5 to verse 9. But three different times in the first nine verses is a reminder not to worry, not to fret, not to get upset when we think that someone else is getting something that we think we deserve. Why does God put that reminder in there so often? Because He knows that we can be quickly distracted by worry and jealousy and a sense of unfairness. Hope is the opposite of worry. Hope in what God has yet to do. Hope in what God has yet to show us. Don't worry about those around you. Be still before the Lord. Wait. Allow Him to prepare you. And then you'll be ready. You'll be prepared and you'll be excited to discover what God has in store for you next to understand. And that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul and his friends. After likely feeling a little disappointed, just like you and I would feel, perhaps feeling frustrated, maybe even a little bit confused by being told no by God on two occasions, they get a yes. It's an unusual yes, but it's a yes to move forward. And it's a good reminder for us that Paul doesn't just tell his friends that they're going to go now. He tells them what has happened, and together they make a decision to move forward into Macedonia, into a city called Philippi. And notice this, they move forward in order to proclaim the good news. And I think this is key for us all. We, for those who have accepted Jesus' invitation to a relationship with Him, who know that our sins are forgiven, we are not called to be preachers. Not all of us are called to be preachers. However, we are all called to go, and we are all empowered by the Holy Spirit to declare, reveal, share, point out, point to, demonstrate the good news of Jesus in a world of bad news. As followers of Jesus, the choices you make should reflect the good news, and that is what you have to share with others. You have the capacity to tell others about the ways in which maybe one, you've been talking to God. Maybe two, about the ways that you're being strengthened and encouraged from God's word. Three, that you can tell them about how the Lord has led you through some difficult circumstances in the past. You can tell them, fourthly, how you've recognized the worries and fears that you're susceptible to. And five, and how the hopes that you have for the future based on the faithfulness of God. This is sharing the good news, and you can do it. And so a good question to ask is, was it worth it? Was it worth it for Paul and his friends to wait, to listen to the no in an active form? And if you were to keep reading, and I encourage you to do so forward in the Acts chapter 16, you'll discover that Paul and his friends enter the city of Philippi, and God leads them to meet a businesswoman who has been learning about God. They are able to speak to her about the good news of Jesus. And she believes in Jesus, and then she tells those in her household about Jesus, and they believe, and then they're all baptized. And what does that one woman do? We can't know for sure, but we can certainly take an informed guess to think that God used her and her household to tell others about Jesus in their community, in the city of Philippi. How do we know this? Because Paul, near the end of his life, sitting, waiting alone in the Roman jail, would write to them, reminding them of the journey that he's been through and the sometimes difficult experiences he has had. But he says, I press on toward the goal to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. Well, Paul probably didn't write that, but Dr. Seuss did. But here's what Paul did write. He then thanks the Philippians for their generosity toward him, and he reminds them about praying continuously, about not being anxious, about finding contentment through the grace and peace that only God can give. These are the principles of waiting, and when it seemed that God was saying no, he was actually saying yes to new opportunities in a new direction that they hadn't thought about. And only there, in those open spaces, would his grace and peace be abundant. A place where just a small amount of faith A faith the size of a mustard seed could move a mountain of possibility, according to the good news of the kingdom of Jesus. So kids, you'll move mountains. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So let's get on your way. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the capacity to learn together as families. We thank you for the significance of your truth, not just for our youngest members of our families, but for all of us, no matter where we are in our lives. And we confess that there have been often circumstances over the course of these months that have been hard. And a lot of it revolves around being told no. But thank you for this reminder, God, that you're actually saying yes, and you're preparing us to experience that yes. And there's mountains waiting to be moved as we place our faith and our hope in the life that you give us through Jesus and the empowerment that comes through the Holy Spirit. Father, would you lead us to those who are seeking you, who have an interest in spiritual matters, who are looking for God? Would you lead us to those people? Would you allow us the freedom to share the good news of Jesus with them? And we pray, Father, that today that you would be a day of rekindling that desire, of moving ourselves out of the lurch of our circumstances and moving into the great open spaces where your grace and peace will lead us. Father, we pray that men and women and boys and girls would come to know Jesus as their Savior. We pray that men and women and boys and girls would be strengthened in their relationship with Jesus. And we pray, God, that you would use us as a church scattered across Sarnia, Lambton, and beyond these city borders to demonstrate the life of Jesus to those around us. Thank you for allowing us this time together. We pray in Jesus' name.